Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I don't know about you, but this is the time of year as a child when my sensibility to God and to who Jesus was heightened, because my church experience was when there was a lot more teaching about salvation and about who Jesus was. So this time of year is always special to me. I'm so grateful that my God robed himself in flesh and walked on this earth and went to a sinner's cross, though he was sinless, and died for my sins. Praise God. Amen. We want to open up with prayer. You can be seated if you would like. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for your presence in this place. You are a great and mighty God beyond our comprehension, but you are so loving that you came to see things through the eyes of humanity and feel what we feel. And pay the price for our sins. We thank you for it, Jesus. Refresh this understanding in our minds, and if it's new to anyone here, oh God, impress it by your presence and by your word. We pray for your blessing on this service and all that we say and do, so that you can be honored and glorified and that hungry hearts can be filled. Let your name be magnified and lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. Amen. If you're a guest of ours, we want to welcome you to Calvary Gospel Church. We are excited about the Easter season that we are entering into. But we celebrate Easter all year round because we believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're here worshiping in person, we would encourage you, if you haven't already met with one of our hospitality staff, take a moment out by the kiosk. You can find them, or they may find you. Would just like to share a few points of information. We do that now digitally. We have a small gift for you. That we don't do digitally. We do that, you know, for real, physically. If you're with us online, we want to welcome you. You can go to the bit.ly link that's there on the screen and connect with Calvary Gospel that way. If you want to give, there's an offering box out in the kiosk. You can mail it in to 5301 Commercial Avenue. You go to our website, which is on the screen also, or you can go through our Church Center church app and give that way. Follow the instructions on the app. Praise God. A few announcements. First of all, you may recognize, you may not, but there may be some fluctuations or some differences in the sound today. It's because we've installed a new part of the system, and the sound team is still making adjustments. So if you want to shed any blood, the guy over there with the bass guitar, Jordan Powell, is the guy that you should talk to after service. Brother Marvin said that you can complain about the bass playing and the sound at the same time. I know that's okay to say because his wife is laughing as hard as anyone. So, amen. We love Jordan Powell. Amen. And if you want to know anything about fountain pens, he's the guy to talk to. Next weekend is Easter weekend. And we will celebrate with a Good Friday service at 7 o'clock. And we will be serving communion on Good Friday at 7. Sunday will be our normal schedule with the 10 a.m. classes and Easter service, special celebration at 11. Praise God. He is risen as he said. Wednesday, April 12th, we have a missionary with us, Joshua and LaLena Tingley, missionaries to Haiti, will be with us. And then April 23rd, we just want you to be prepared for this to save the date. In order to raise funds for Youth Congress, our Spanish language church, Voces Unidas, will be offering meals prepared by Buck and Honey's head chef, Brother Samuel Milan. Amen. Anybody been to Buck and Honey's? I will give them great praises. It's a great place to eat. Brother Samuel is the head chef. He oversees all of the Buck and Honey's kitchens throughout Dane County. The one in Sun Prairie, Monona, Wanakee, and I think they have one down by, they're opening one in Mount Horeb. I almost said horrible. Mount Horeb. So, Brother Samuel is a member of Voces Unidas. He's an elder, a leader in the church, gives a lot of his time to the work of God, but he's also a great leader in his own field. In 2 weeks, they'll be taking pre-orders after service. So you order the meal. It's a take-home, pre-prepared meal that you take home. But they will be taking orders after service in 2 weeks. We want you to think ahead. Make plans to get some yummy food. Amen. Why don't we, if you are able and you so desire, let's stand and worship the Lord together in Jesus' name.
Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Bible says that God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. According to the power that worketh in you. say, I've seen you move. Over the mountain,
you move the mountain.
I believe.
I'll
see you do it again.
I'll see you do it again.
Made a way. There was no way.
When there was no way.
Church, such a powerful, powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place. If you need something from God this morning, I don't know what you came here. We all come here with different needs, with different things that we're looking for. And God is here. And we serve a God that, you know what? He can fix my financial problems at the same time, fix your marriage problems. Same time, fix a problem with your teenage son or daughter or whatever it may be, health. I just believe God is here. And we just have to submit ourselves to Him. We just have to say yes. That's all we have to do is say yes. God makes a way. All we have to do is say yes. You can be seated this morning. I would like to take, before we get started off here, and just I would like to congratulate Pastor John Seidel. Yesterday was his 65th birthday. And we have been friends for a long time. Back in 1943 years, we have known each other. And we've worked on the same job together on more than one occasion. And here we are at Calvary Gospel Church working together, and I am enjoying this very much, working with Brother Seidel. And he's an awesome man. Did a great job in our morning Bible class today. So also, I just want to welcome, if you're a guest of ours, it's just so great to have you here. Wednesday night after service, when most of us had gone home, they had a baptismal. And we had a few people get baptized. How many of you were here? There were a few of you here. How many of you, within the last few weeks, let's just go the last month, how many of you have been baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost in the last month? Could you just stand? Could we just get a look at all? We are so excited. And we want you to make sure that you connect with our new members here at Calvary Gospel Church, and we're just a big family. And, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit when you have those family reunions and all the cousins that you don't see real often show up, and you kind of have to get to know each other a little bit. That's kind of the way it is sometimes after service. We just want to get to know you. Don't be shy. Introduce yourself. Also, it's a very special day. This is the Carters' last Sunday, I believe, before they head out to Germany. And they were here. There's Sister Linda. Brother Wallace is somewhere around. He'll be back. But we're going to have a special cupcake reception in the fellowship hall following service. And we're going to have, at the end of the service, we're going to have them come up. We'll tie this in. But we're going to take a few services break from our series. We've been talking about mental health. This is Easter week, and this coming Friday, we're going to have a special Good Friday communion service. We'll be taking communion, and I wish to invite all of you to come and participate. It will be we always do a special little theme for our Easter Good Friday service, and that will kind of tie in a little bit with today and with Friday and then with our Easter weekend. Over the past few weeks, we've been hearing a lot about the parable of the talents. And the parable of the servants, as Brother Phil brought to us on Wednesday night, and Brother Jerry a few weeks ago. And I want to thank our pastors for doing a great job on that. And last Wednesday night, we were at district conference, and I heard that Brother Jordan Powell did a phenomenal job on speaking. So thank you, Brother Jordan. And I'm not going to dig deeper per se this morning. We're going to just cover what I would just call some very simple principles that we can apply to our lives. These are almost immediate applications. It's not something we have to wait until we're 40 or 50 or 60 or 70. We can apply to our lives today. And I want to talk to just for just a little bit about purpose versus our calling. Our purpose versus our calling. And we're gonna look at this phrase, we hear this a lot, what is your calling in life? Most of us would no doubt mention perhaps our occupation. People say, well, what is your calling? You say, well, I'm a plumber, or I'm an electrician, or I work at the hospital as a nurse, or I work in insurance. And we look at our calling as a with our occupation, and there is times where that can be a very correct statement. Perhaps some would mention that your calling in life is just simply being a mom or a dad. I've talked to people, and recently we were talking about what it's like being a grandpa and a grandpa, a grandma at this stage in our life. I love the fact that I can have my grandchildren over, spoil them royally rotten, feed them full of garbage food, chocolate, Mountain Dew, and send them home. I think we're going to be having lunch at Papa Jimmy's today in Cottage Grove, and we're going to be feeding them full of all kinds of pizza and Sassy Cow ice cream and Mountain Dew, and then they can go home, and I can go home, and I can take a nap. I was talking with Sister Carpenter, and she was telling me how tired she was this morning. I said, Sister, I'm right there. I am tired. I said, if I preach 20 minutes and I hit the side door and you don't see me again, it means I'm already in nap mode and I'm gone. If I fall asleep here, we have a serious problem. So, callings can really be any number of things. Calling can be heavy on you as an individual. Perhaps this morning you're dealing with the weight of a calling. Maybe it's a calling from God, a calling, something in your family. Thus, callings can affect each person differently. I've said this so many times. We are all different. Every one of us here is different. And when God calls us or God uses us, He uses us all different. None of us will He use in the same way, because we're different. And we have to understand that how you operate is going to be different than how I operate. So a calling can most definitely affect your worth. When you look at your calling or your role in a church or an organization, Pastor Phil laid this out very well on Wednesday night when he talked about the parable of the talents and the servants and the talents. And I would recommend you listen to Wednesday night's message. And so we're going to cover a few principles found in Scripture that just may help take a little bit of pressure off of you perhaps today. If this has been a struggle for you in your past or if you're currently going through a struggle in your life today on really what is my purpose and what is my calling. How do I figure that out? Most of us have an idea on what a calling or what is our purpose. We have that internal sense of accomplishment, a noble purpose or a feeling of satisfaction within. We work on our jobs and we complete a task and we have this satisfaction of completion and we have an internal sense of accomplishment. A contentment of sorts that when we're able to complete something in life, we feel a level of contentment within us. If not, some of us expect to find that meaning of life somewhere as we travel down life's varied paths that life can take us. We all come into our purpose and our calling at different points in life, different seasons in life. We work hard to get there in life. Perhaps we study and we educate ourselves and we allow ourselves to assist in training other people to train us in our life, and we show up again and again to leadership classes and to services. And yes, with all of this input coming into our lives, maybe we're still having a struggle as to exactly where do I fit? What is my calling? As we continue in life to pursue our callings and our purposes, there are a few things that we can cover today that will make it perhaps a bit more clear as to what God wants us to do as we pursue Him in our lives. Understand one thing here, that a calling and a purpose are really two different things. So when we talk about what is my purpose and what is my calling, we're looking at two different distinctive topics. We sometimes use them almost interchangeably. I've used them interchangeably, but they're really not the same. So understand, your purpose, our purpose, my purpose is to do what we were made to do. It's that simple. Our purpose is to do what we were made to do. Now, your calling is a prompting towards a certain line of work or a specific way of living, perhaps. As a Christian, we call this prompting by the Holy Spirit. As human beings here on earth, God gives us purpose, and our sole purpose as a human being on this planet is one simple thing, that is to know God and to lead others to God. That's why we're here. We're here for relationship. We're here for relationship with God. When God created us in the Garden of Eden and He formed Adam out of the dust of the earth and He breathed His spirit into Adam and Adam became a living soul, our sole purpose was for communion with or relationship with God. Our purpose has never changed. It has never changed. Humanity's purpose on this earth has never changed. Our purpose is simply to know God, have a relationship with God, and to lead others who do not know Him or do not have a relationship with Him to Him. That's what this was all about. That is why that happened. That is why God came to earth in flesh in the man Christ Jesus and had relationship and communion with humanity. So our purpose, what is our purpose? We all have the same purpose, folks. That is to know God, have relationship with God, and to introduce other people to Him. That's what our purpose is. So we make Him known by glorifying Him in our everyday lives. We share with Him as we sit around at the lunch table at work, the grocery store, at the laundromat, wherever we are, we have to understand that this is what we were made to do. This is what we were made. This is why we are here. We are fulfilling our purpose. Being fulfilled with our purpose is simply introducing others. We read in Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 13, where God is talking to the prophet Jeremiah. And he tells the prophet, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Now, we usually stop at this point in this passage. There's a lot of times we read a passage. We read it until we get what we want to get out of it, and then we stop. We don't continue reading. But when we look at God's whole purpose in this passage, and what it is, he is simply seeking to reconcile humanity, reconcile us to himself. So all the good he works in our lives is meant to lead us, to direct us to a greater good, and that is someday being reunited with him. We don't talk a lot about heaven. We probably should talk a lot more about it. Because when we die, everybody, no matter how good, bad, indifferent you are, everybody, they're going to heaven, right? Well, not necessarily. If you really read about it, there are some restrictions. There are some guidelines on what has to be done to get there. So this is why we came to earth in the first place, is our callings. Everyone here, our purpose. But everyone here, when we look at our callings, a lot of times we say God's will for our life. What is God's will for my life? So in our callings, everyone here, your callings are different than someone else. We are different because God equipped us with different talents. God equipped some of us have the ability to sing and sing very well, and some of us not so. Not so. Some of us have the ability to cook very well, and some not so much. It's really hard sometimes to mess up a can of chicken noodle soup, but I've had cans of chicken noodle soup go south on me. You see, we have different experiences in life. And I believe God planned it this way. I believe this is all part of God's plan because we can all go through the same experience and come out differently. Because how we are, how we think, how we process. So we do that in ministry. We do it different in ministry. How I do ministry is different than how you may do ministry. How I pray with someone may be different than how you pray with someone. How we do business differently. We have a lot of, everyone here works jobs somewhere, and every job you work, it's done differently from one place to the next. We do teaching differently. We have a number of teachers, our life class teachers, our pastoral staff. Every one of us, we do it differently. Any different number of ways. Is any way right or any way wrong? They're just different. How Brother Ty would teach a lesson on Jonah and the whale would be probably very different than how Brother Rico would teach, because they're going to teach that lesson from their own perspective and life experiences. Thus, the lessons are so vastly different, although we're covering the same topic. So if we look at Scripture, I'm amazed as to how many different ways that God's people have served him. You ever thought about that? When you look in the Scripture at all the various different people that God used and how effectively he used them, Paul was a tent maker. There are times and Paul's New Testament ministry that he didn't, we think about him as a fantastic, incredible world evangelist, but he wasn't making enough income from his preaching to put food on the table. And he had to revert back to his trade of tent making. We look at Jesus. Jesus himself was a carpenter. We look at Abraham. Abraham was the son of an idol maker, so no doubt he carried his father's craft as an idol maker. Lydia in the New Testament, a New Testament saint, a woman, she was a dealer in purple linens. Very, no doubt, wealthy woman to have purple linens in that day. It was upper class, wore purple. And she was a dealer in cloth or a seamstress of sorts. When we look at our callings, when we look at our callings for life, our callings, are they for life or are they seasonal? Are they only for a season? And I want to spend a few moments on this. There are times in my own life that a portion of my calling was only for a season. And I think a lot of times when we look to try to find God's will or God's calling in our life, we try to take God's calling and apply it to an entire lifetime. And that's not always the truth. Now we have Brother and Sister Carter here today, and they're going to be leaving us to go to Germany, and they're going to be helping plant a church in the military region of where they're going to be living. And Sister Linda has taken a job working for the Department of Defense in a military base there in Germany. And I know with discussing with them that they've had this calling for a very long time. Decades, God has been calling them to do this. Now you can look at this and say, are you out of God's will? Are you missing his calling? Because God called you there 20 years ago and it's now just happening. Well, understand something. In between their calling and in between them actually going there to fulfill that calling, a lot of life had to take place. So when God calls us sometimes, he calls us maybe into a level of ministry, but it is season by season by season by season that we get to that calling. We don't just jump up in the morning, say, guess what? God's called me to Germany. I'm leaving today on the first available plane. And you take off. It might not work out so well. Most of our failures in life come because we don't have patience in the season that God has us in. We want to get to the end game. We want to get to the end calling. And God says, but understand something, Sister Linda, I'm going to teach you patience. I'm ad-libbing a little bit here, so don't think that I'm just using this as an example because it's a perfect example. God has to teach us sometimes patience, so God sends a son into their life that requires a lot of patience. Autistic son who's now graduated from college, going to be living on his own. You see, it makes sense now when you look back to say, hey, God's called us, but there has to be a lot of life. We have to raise our children. We have to make sure that our children are taken care of. God teaches us things in seasons of life that we go through. Understand, our purpose will always remain the same, but our callings will vary based upon the seasons that we are in our life. What are you doing now will not be what you're going to be doing forever. I mentioned about being a grandfather. They called me Poppy. Sister Lois, they call her Lolo, Poppy and Lolo. I like that. So we have that on our Jeep. My side of the Jeep, it says Poppy. Sister Lois, it says Lolo. And we're just two old coots cruising around in the Jeep. Barely can crawl in and out of the thing now. But nevertheless, we're telling ourselves we're enjoying this, right? But you see, I understand something. My life has made a lot of shifts. I've had a lot of seasonal shifts in my life to get to where I am today. And where I am today is not where I will probably end up in my life, because I don't believe I'm going to be pastoring until I'm 80 years old. I don't think I can handle that. So life is going to have to shift in seasons, but understand something. My purpose will never change. No matter where you are, at whatever season you are in your life today, your purpose will always be the same. That is to introduce this Jesus to someone who's never met him before. So that's why our callings don't have to carry the same weight as our purpose. Our purpose should carry a far more heaviness and burden and weight on us than our calling. But we seem to reverse that in our lives. We put all of the weight on God's will, and very little do we look at the weight of his purpose. The purpose, we have to understand that if we don't fulfill our purpose, then the world will go to hell lost without meeting Jesus Christ. So, our callings, we tend to add pressure on our life trying to figure out our callings because we believe our calling is for a lifetime. I want us to look at this between now and our Good Friday service is, what is my calling in life at this season in life? You may know where God is calling you in the end. Maybe God's calling you into a ministry of a pastor or a preacher or a teacher or into the prophetics or any of those various fivefold ministries. Maybe God is calling you into one of those areas of ministry, but you're not there and you're frustrated. But where are you? What season are you in? And does that season line up with where God is calling you to be and to go? And you have to understand that your calling, I figured this out, it took me a little while, but your calling may not pay all your bills. You may actually have to work another job for a while if God has called you, and maybe as a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist, and you feel like, I need to be out, I need to be teaching and preaching, whatever that may be. It's important to provide for ourselves, but it's also important to live out our purpose, knowing God and making him known. And sometimes our calling and our purpose don't always go hand in hand. And that's okay. A part-time ministry, a side project or a side job, a full-time ministry, maybe as a career. Maybe this is just a seasonal point in your life. Whether it's part-time or full-time, we have to trust God and we have to trust his plan for us. Some of you are just looking to go to Bible school. Madison is just looking to go to Bible school. But you know what? That's not where she's going to be for the rest of her life. This is just a step of fulfilling a calling. This is a season. It may be a 2-year season. It may be a 4-year season. But it's just a season. And we have to understand that this is not where we are going to eventually end up by fulfilling God's will or his calling in our life. You see, it's important to understand that one must not discern something's importance based upon how much money or how much influence comes from that. A lot of times we think that we have hit it because there's influence or there's a payday. And that's not always right. I've told a lot of our young ministers and a lot of our young businessmen going into business, just because God's blessing your business doesn't mean you're doing everything right. Understand, God blesses on principles. God will also discipline on principles. We can be blessed by following some principles and discipline because we disobey other principles, all while we are self-employed businessmen or women. So we have to understand. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8, the Lord has assigned each of us to a task. And he was responding to the arguments in the church at that time over who follows who in the church, whose position is most important. You see, he says, wait a minute here. He gives an example. He says, I planted a lot of seed. I preach all over this continent. I have taken the seed that I have and I have thrown it out all over this continent. But that's all I did. All I did was plant the seed. What he was trying to say is that my job is important, but it's not the most important job. Because he follows that statement up with Apollos comes along, and Apollos sees all this seed that I planted. And Apollos realizes that if I don't put some water on this seed, everything Paul did is going to be in vain. So Apollos gets out his watering bucket and he goes to water all the seed that Paul planted. You see, sometimes we think because we planted the seed, we get credit for it. Well, I planted that seed. When I got the Holy Ghost, that was my seed. But who watered that seed? You see, this is where it's important that God pulls us together as a body. Paul's simply saying, you know what? There's no one more important. You see, I planted it, Apollos watered it, but who made it grow? He's saying, neither one of us, I didn't make it grow. Apollos did make it grow. It's God. It was God that gave the increase. It was God that made it grow. So here in church, we can look at this and say, well, because I sang a beautiful song at worship service that the door was opened up and the Holy Ghost fell, and it's because of my voice that God allowed all of these people to be saved. Or I could say as a preacher, well, you know, it was what I said. Or you could say as someone sitting there, well, it's because what I said. But see, the bottom line is some of us plant, some of us water, but only God is the one that makes it grow. Our work is not independent to what everyone else is doing. This is why it's so critical, church. It's so critical to understand every season you are in your life. It's critical that you be in that season and you learn what needs to be learned in that season. Because you're helping the rest of us in our seasons to grow as well. So to each one, we each play our own parts and support one another. Our work isn't independent of what everyone else is doing. It's not about who does what task and whose task it is more impressive than another person's task. It's not our efforts to make things happen. It is God that rewards all of us, and it's not based upon our abilities. Hear me now. It's not based upon our abilities or our accomplishments, but it's based upon our obedience. This is one of the few jobs that you don't get paid based upon your abilities, your talents, or any of that sort. You get paid based upon obedience to Him. God doesn't care how well you sing or how well you preach. God just wants you to sing and preach. He wants you to be obedient, and He rewards. We are co-workers with God to build His kingdom. This was a frustrating point for me over this past year, because I had some struggles. I was struggling with some things in my mind and some thoughts, and I'm like, Lord, you know, some of these problems that you have to deal with, this isn't my church. He says, exactly. It's not yours, it's mine. So shut up about it and do what you're supposed to do. You know, God can be really rude sometimes. How dare Him? But you see, we're co-workers with God. Paul writes again in 1 Corinthians. He says, how that we are simply servants. That yes, I'm Apostle Paul. Apollos wasn't as known as Apostle Paul, but he was putting the two of them together, saying both of us were important. We were both very important in this process. We're both needed. We're both co-workers in His field. I heard a phrase recently that really stuck out to me. And it says, it's not what you are producing for God. This is a good one to write down. It's not what you are producing for God, but what God is producing in you that matters. So many times we think that because of our calling is about production. I have to produce something. But you see, if God produces what God wants to produce in us, Brother Seidel, then everything else will fall into play. Everything else will fall into play. You see, in today's world, that's a loss, because it's our world today is all about gaining for self. My empire. My wealth. This is mine. This is my house. These are my cars. These are my Rolls Royces. It's all about building up your own empire. But here, it's not about that. It's about God's kingdom. It's always been about relationship. Relationship with Him. And God invites us into His abundance. This is the unique part about this. If we can get this part right, if we can fulfill our purpose, we know what our purpose is, simply to just teach and train, lead others to Jesus Christ. And our calling, it's about Him. It's about relationship with Him. God invites us into His abundance, into His rest. We read in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. With that statement, there is a great amount of freedom released in that statement. Where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. To get invited. We get invited. This is amazing to me, that God is inviting you and I to help Him build His kingdom. Let's stand this morning. You see, to be involved in something that does not depend upon my own strength, doesn't depend upon my own talents, and doesn't depend upon my own abilities. This is all about God. So as we close out this service today, I'm very, very excited for Brother Wallace and Sister Linda Carter. And I would like for them to come down to the front. We're going to close this service out a little bit different than we close most of our services out. Sister Victoria, come on down, girl. You're part of this. Is Brother Wallace and Ben, are they still out? Okay. We're going to have them come. I'm going to have you just stand down in front if you could, okay? All right. Now, Brother Ben, this has been a very difficult journey, sorting all of this stuff out. Brother Wallace is just like, if you know Brother Wallace, he is like steadfast, rock hard, strong. He's not a man of a lot of words at times, but there's a lot of words there if you're willing to listen. A man of great wisdom, and they started in Germany many, many years ago. God called them, and they ended up on a military base, and the very first time they ever went to a service at the military base church, the pastor resigned at the end of service and turned it over to Linda and Brother Wallace, and that was their first time to ever be there. But that's how it works in the military. He was getting sent, shipped out, and they were getting sent in. And they're like, here we are, Lord. This is our season in life. This is what you're calling us to do, and we're going to do it. And they did it. But God put something, a seed, in their hearts. And they knew that someday in life, life would come full circle, and they would be back in Germany where they start with their calling. They've been through seasons of pain, seasons of tears, seasons of joy, seasons of growth, seasons of seemingly staying in the same spot for a very long time. But this is how God works. This is the awesomeness of God. But in all of that, they were fulfilling God's purpose and doing their best to fulfill His will for their life, or His calling for their life in every season of their life. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to ask if our ministers and our elders would just come up here to the front. All of our pastors, just come up. I'm just going to ask you to, we have some anointing oil here. Now Victoria, she's staying home. She's going to be here in church with us on Sundays. It's going to be the first time in her life that she's going to be a whole continent away from mom and dad. And Brother Ben is, it's going to be a journey for Brother Ben. Some of you know Brother Ben. He's been here. We love Brother Ben Carter. He has autism. He's an awesome young man, and God has done some incredible things in his life. And it's going to be us as a church. This is kind of going to be a dedication, not just a sending off of Brother Wallace and Sister Linda, but this is also going to be the responsibility of Brother Ben and Sister Victoria is going to fall. We're going to become their moms and dads for 3 years, because they're not going to be coming back every other weekend. It's going to be a little bit of a change. But we are excited about this, and we want to take, and as we close this service out, we're having a perfect example today of someone who knows and understands God's purpose and now is stepping into a new season of calling in their lives. And this is where God is calling all of us. We may not be going to Germany. We may be just helping out in a church plant at McFarland or Deerfield or a Sunday school class or praying for people at the altar. We all have a calling, but we all have the same purpose. So as we close this out, I'm just going to ask for those of you that would like to come up and join as we pull in our circle a little tighter. If you'd like to come up and just lay your hands upon the shoulders of those that are in front. And we want to take and we want to pray for this couple here this morning. And we're going to ask that God touch both of them as they embark in a very new journey in Jesus. Let's pray, Lord. I pray for Sister Linda. God, I ask you, Lord. God, as they go to this church, 75,000 military personnel, and there's no church. And God, I pray, God, that your anointed power of the Holy Ghost would flow through Sister Linda today. I pray, God, for Brother Wallace, Lord, who is not here. He's with his mother at this time, Lord. God, that your hand would be upon him. That you would lead him, that you would guide him, that you would anoint him. Lord, it's not going to be an easy, but God, Lord, you are going to be there. You will lead every step. And I pray, God, that she would find favor on her job with the military, the Department of Defense, Lord, that she takes over a vast responsibility at the hospital and the medical facility there on the base. I also pray, Lord, for my sister, Victoria, God. And I pray, God, that during her parents' absence, that, Lord, she would cling, Lord, to you, God, that she would not give up, Lord. It may be hard. Mom's not there. Dad's not there. But, God, you have placed her with family. And, God, we love our sister. We want to see the best for her. We want to see her grow. We want to see her develop, Lord God, and fulfill the calling that you have placed in her life. God, her calling is no more or less important than her mom or dad's calling, because it is her calling. And I pray, God, that you would help her to fulfill the purpose and help her, Lord, to fulfill the calling that you have placed in her life. As well, God, we pray for these two, this family. We love the Carters. We appreciate their ministry and their presence in our lives. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Now, this morning, we're not going to just end with this. Today, if you're here, and you've never fulfilled your purpose, you're not for sure what your purpose is, or maybe you're just new in the Lord and this is all new for you and you're on a journey. Maybe you've just begun your journey and you're not for sure what your calling is in your life. I just want to invite you to come down this morning as we finish off this service in prayer. We want to pray with you. I want to invite you to come down. Maybe you know full well where God is taking you, and maybe you're struggling getting to that point. I just want you to spend some time in prayer. Remember, following the service, we're going to go to the fellowship hall. We're going to have some cupcakes, and we're going to celebrate, and we're going to say goodbye to the Carters. But as our worship team continues to sing, I just want to open up this altar. God bless you.
I surrender all to you. I'm longing.
Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me. Give myself away. I give myself away so away. I give myself away so you can
take my heart.
Take my heart.
Take my life as a living sacrifice.
As a living sacrifice.
All my dreams.
All my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands.
I give myself,
away.
Hey.
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself.
Praise the Lord again, church. God is so good. And I just want to invite you, all of you. We want to head on over to the fellowship hall. Fellowship, if you're not in for a cupcake and you don't need a cupcake, maybe you need two or three. I don't know. You're, but make sure you connect with Brother Wallace and Sister Linda and Victoria and Brother Ben, and let them know you'll be praying for them. We'll be giving us updates, let you know how things are going for them. They will be starting a military church there on the military base in Germany, and just continue to pray for them. Brother Wallace will be working more in the ministry side of things, and Sister Linda will be working, as I said, in the Department of Defense, working in the hospital there in on the base. So God bless you. Thank you so very much for coming out today to our guests. It's so great to have you here, and if we can help in any way, that's what we're here for. We'll be here on Wednesday evening and with our Wednesday evening service, and remember, for Friday evening, God's will, where are you now, and where do you need to be? That's going to come into play on Friday evening. So God bless you. Thank you so very much to our worship team. Phenomenal job this morning, brother. Awesome.